Hey podcasters, Claresy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Dennis Cometti wraps up the footy with just 4 weeks till the finals.
We ask if you give your dog a bone.
We ask if you ever said no to a marriage proposal.
And Claresy gives his tips for selling a house.
John Farnham headlines live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
That's over the shoulder.
The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes. Hang it on the wall. A work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti for Battery World.
There was roadkill around Optus Stadium. The Eagles went roo hunting on the weekend, and the Dockers not so marvellous at marble against the Bulldogs. Dennis Cometti, good morning.
Good morning. I came in. You're giving away cash. You're getting very cavalier.
Aren't we?
We are.
Yes.
Right. Just
yes.
Throwing. Well, now that we're not paying you and you're doing it for the love of it, we're just giving it away.
Always the love of it. But,
and Ben White
600
has
this morning.
Oh, yes. Yes. Sorry.
Gosh, look at you guys.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So the footy.
Yeah, the footy.
Good weekend for the West Coast Eagles. Well, he took all the glory.
He
just jumped in there and gave the headlines. They had a win. They moved up to second place, and Josh Kennedy booted 7 goals, 600 now for his career, over 600.
Amazing.
People argue that 7 is the old 10. Now, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. Not if your team kicks 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still 7 is 7, isn't it? It can't be the new 10. It's weird about footy.
Yeah, that is odd.
When you look back to last weekend, Fremantle won with 7.
Yes, true.
So the games vary a lot. Anyway, the Eagles are taking it 1 week at a time. It's official. They can't miss the finals now. The next step is top four, then top two. The most competitive area in the Eagles team right now is small forward.
Yep.
Jamie Cripps will be back in a couple of weeks. He's automatic, isn't he?
You'd think so, even though Rioli and the others are doing so well.
Mm. What do you think?
Yep.
I don't know.
You reach for your record.
Hey, Dan, Cripps is very clever. He's a clever player.
What are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing because that's why we get you, because I know nothing. Matt knows a little bit more than that, and Claresy knows a bit more than that.
This chair swivels with my back to you, you notice?
Yeah,
I don't
it does.
Do that deliberately.
No,
I'm going to
no,
come around here, excuse me.
That's all right.
I'm
that's
going
all
over
right.
here to face
yeah,
to face.
Thank
you. It's a giant
there
we magnet.
Go.
Yeah.
Thing with Jamie Cripps. He comes back into the team, so I guess Ryan, Rioli, Cameron and Petrucelli vying for two spots.
Okay.
Okay? Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything is good at the West Coast Eagles. Sure. Conversely, of course, everyone is down on Fremantle. And you've got to face the mob pre-game again next week.
I do, and we're playing Geelong.
The good news story is that Andy Brayshaw did well, right? So when he comes in, we can at least talk to Andy and be like, you nailed it.
That's what I like about you, positivity.
He
was terrific, wasn't he?
The shining light.
The problem that Ross has got, by definition, when people are on Fremantle, they're on Ross, aren't they? So they're not happy. The success of the three replacement coaches doesn't help him. I mean, people are making a lot of that. Yeah. But it was a poor effort yesterday against the Dogs. You mentioned Brayshaw. He was terrific. Nat Fyfe was brave, but not much help for either of them.
Mm.
And as much as I've admired the career of Hayden Ballantyne, at 32, his body has been pounded, hasn't it?
It has.
Yes.
And he's received as much as he's given.
A gutsy little man, but just let him ride off into the sunset while he can still ride. There's no point in playing Ballantyne. And another thing that's...
I enjoy your little
Kimber.
Wasn't that good?
Thank you. It's all right. Keeps it entertaining for those of us who don't care about football. Keep it up.
But you're right, Dan. There's a couple of kids at Peel could probably get a game. Tom North could get a game. Or,
Another thing that's disappointing Dockers fans is recruitment. Now, two Bulldogs, Aaron Norton from Peel and Tim English from South Fremantle, were very good yesterday for the Bulldogs.
Yes.
And so was Tim Kelly. I hate to bring his name up for Geelong against Sydney. Tim, of course, from South Fremantle. So all south of the river guys, and alongside Brayshaw, all three could be Dockers today.
Yeah.
I don't think Ross does the recruiting. So
can't blame him for that.
Well, no, you can't
if
really.
If they do a draft or they take in Dockers players to people, then do they feel disappointed? Can you see it in their face? Do they wish that they were going to a more achieving team?
No, I don't think so. I think they just want to play AFL football. Mm. But by the same token, it's a lot easier to recruit young players locally. And those guys are all going to be stars. I mean, Kelly is now.
Kelly
but
is.
But Norton, I really like yesterday. How mobile was he?
He was all over it. He was good all day.
And he was playing for Peel right under their nose. And Tim English, well, he's going to be a star.
Yeah.
So they've got some of that wrong. But
is it fair to say he was omnipotent?
He was at no.
Maybe ubiquitous. I don't know.
I spent 4.5 minutes trying to think of something to impress Dennis Cometti, and it goes like a fart in a spacesuit.
Oh, I like it.
That was good.
And Tim Kelly on the big stage here at Optus this week against the Dockers.
Yes,
was he omnipotent?
Yes. He was.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I shouldn't try and catch things falling off the desk when I'm on air.
Did you see those motor skills, though?
Yeah.
That's good, wasn't it? Yeah. Remember my advancing years. Anyway, that's all I've got to share this morning.
It was a lot. Thank you. It was very good.
Lovely to see you.
Comprehensive. You too, Dennis.
Because generally
lovely.
I don't see you. I'm this way.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, you guys know I'm a dog person. I've had dogs my whole life, and the part of the way you raise your dogs is just what the information you learn along the way.
Yes.
Right? People tell you some things, you look a few things up and you try and work it out.
And a bit of trial and error.
You get advice from people. And now, for many, many years, my vet has always had a no bone policy. Okay, the vet that I went to was very strict with everyone who came in saying, we don't want you to give your dogs bones under any circumstances because it can get stuck, etc.
Okay.
Right. But many people tell me that they feed their dogs chicken necks and it's great for their teeth. So recently McGrufford had a few issues with his teeth and he's only young, he's only two.
Mm.
And so they said, look, it's just genetic. Sometimes these dogs get it. And I was like, well, why don't I give him a couple of chicken necks? Right. It's good for him, good for his bones, and he'll get in there and munch them up. Great for the teeth.
Yes. Okay.
Maddie, you've given dog chicken necks to Florence.
Yes, well, I have, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, why am I being such a scaredy cat? I'm going to give it a go. Now, I Googled it, found out what I had to do, and all the real information was just make sure that you watch your pet while they're doing it.
Right.
Okay. Don't ever give your pet a new toy or a new bone or anything to play with and eat if you're not there watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right? So we sat in the yard, and I cut it smaller. I made it small for him just in case, and I watched him, and he chewed on it, and he was doing well. He was giving it a red hot go. Couple of crunches in there and then suddenly gone, swallowed, gone. Like
Gonski.
He did a couple of chews. I heard a couple of crunches and then bam, the whole thing went down his throat.
Straight down the neck.
And I couldn't stop him, right? It was too late. It was gone.
Yeah,
so I panicked because I went, oh my God, he swallowed the whole chicken neck whole. And so I've had to Google it. And then when I Google my dog swallowed a whole chicken neck, suddenly I see this whole forum of people going, oh my God, my dog swallowed a chicken neck and it became a bowel obstruction. And so I was panicking.
Yeah,
This was, watching him eat it was the scariest thing I've ever gone through with McGruff. Like
yes.
I was just going, this is going to end up terrible.
Mm.
So I watched him for a couple of days because I've got to watch his bowel and, you know, I found it extremely distressing. Yeah. But the whole thing thankfully went fine.
Yes.
Okay, nothing's happened to him. So
right.
2 days after, I take him down the dog park and we're all having a big old run around, right? And we're throwing the ball and everything's great. And everyone's watching my dog going, wow, he's tiny, but he runs like a sheepdog. Look at him go.
All he knows what's coming.
And then he just starts puking all over the park.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to come out from the other end. But.
Oh, no. Puke over here. Go for a bit of a run. Puke over here. And all the other dog owners are in the park. Come on, darling, let's go. It's like gather your kids because my kid's giving everyone the plague.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It was so embarrassing. Oh. And I'm running around picking up like sand and covering all the areas where he's puking so that the other dogs don't eat it.
All the bone remnants.
It was terrifying. So I'm not judging, but I'm definitely, like, you do what works for your pet.
Yep.
But I am definitely going back to a no-bone scenario because I simply couldn't handle the pressure. It was terrifying for me.
Got a couple of questions very quickly.
Yeah.
Mm. One, you're assuming that that sickness was from something he ate more than 48 hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, the digestive system doesn't really work like that.
Maybe. I don't know. It can take, if you swallowed an entire chicken neck, doesn't it take a while to come out?
I've done it.
This morning.
And the other thing, and I agree with you here, right, is
and
that there's so much information. Yeah. And I just started thinking, you know what? We had dogs.
Yep.
And they lived long, healthy lives and they were living on PAL.
Yeah.
You know, so you just got to go back to a bit of instinct, don't you?
A bit of everything going
on. Yeah, my instinct is I absolutely can't handle it. It was too distressing for me to watch him eat it. But I want to know, 133353, do you give your dog a bone?
Okay.
I mean, this is going to get controversial. There'll probably be people who go, what are you
thinking?
You're an
idiot.
This is terrible. Maybe vets will call up. I don't know. But I'm just saying there's mixed opinions about it.
Yeah, well, we might get some clarity.
Or mixed means variety.
Yeah. Mix it up.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast. With Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Kimber's been talking about her dog McGruff and just gave me a chance to play AC/DC one more time.
Give it a dog
Giving the dog a bone.
Giving the dog a bone.
Casually giving him a chicken neck because it's the first time I've ever given my dog a bone.
Yeah.
People said it was fine to do. It made me too scared. He accidentally swallowed it. He's turned out fine, which I'm happy for. But yeah. I don't think I'm ready to give him bones.
And you're right. People will tell you 100% opposing views. And I've had two different views from two different vets.
Yes. Some vets will say absolutely no bones. Other people go, it's fine. Yeah. Amanda is in Nollamara. Amanda, do you give your dog a bone?
Absolutely. I've got a 12-year-old Maltese Shih Tzu and I've fed him chicken necks. I did give him the bacon hock when I cooked tea and ham soup and I have not had trouble with him at all.
Okay.
So it's all pretty easy then. You don't. Did you ever feel nervous, Amanda?
No. I mean, my grandparents have done it when they've had multiple dogs and no trouble whatsoever.
Yeah, this is the problem, Amanda. I know you can't, you know, do things just because they used to be done that way. I mean, we do evolve, but when I look at dogs, I think, you know, we did okay. They had no problem.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, we can't just keep living with the fear of, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But part of me also goes, that's much like sunscreen. We learned that what we were doing, and now vets are sort of saying, well, actually, lots of dogs do get this lodged in their throat. Is it worth the turnout of possibly getting a bone stuck or for what they get out of getting the chicken? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Well, it comes down to the individual owner then, doesn't it?
Totally. Like, that's why, for me, I'm too scared.
Okay. I can't imagine you feeding McGruff a bone again.
I'm too scared. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Amanda.
Debbie in Huntingdale, what about feeding the dog a bone? You're doing that these days?
No. $2,000 vet bill. She had a bowel obstruction.
Oh, Debbie, what were you giving her?
Well, it was a large bone, so I was told to not give them give her a raw large bone,
yes.
And she had that, and the knuckle bit, yeah, she ended up with a bowel obstruction $2,000 later. So then I took to giving her carrots.
Yeah, mine takes carrots as well. He doesn't find them anywhere near as fun as that chicken, I'm sure. But
But $2,000 is $2,000.
And you can and it can kill your dog. Like, I get it. That's scary. No one wants to put their dog in for surgery.
No.
No.
Thanks,
no.
Debbie.
And Debbie's dog can now see in the dark as well.
Yeah, it's like a rabbit.
Let's go to Shoalwater. Sonia, you giving your dog a bone?
Not anymore. I used to, and she used to love chicken carcasses.
Yeah.
And I'm a dog trainer, so I kind of, that's my passion, looking into dogs. I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't give nutrition advice.
No.
But, you know, I heard lots of stories, and there's also broken teeth to think of as well with the hard bones, and that happens.
Yeah.
My dog loved it. But I also did a bit of research and hearing from clients, I heard the stories of when it does go wrong.
Yeah.
So it may not go wrong a lot. It might, you know, who knows? We don't know. 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000.
Yeah.
But I thought, am I prepared to take that risk with my dog that I love so much? Yeah. What if all the breeders have told me they've bred for 20 years and they've had, you know, hundreds of dogs, never had a problem? What if my dog was the one?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What if?
Sounds like your dog agrees in the background there too, Sonia.
Yeah. He wasn't just nodding.
Or he's going, give me a bone for God's sake.
Throw me a bone.
Does. They love them. And that's what makes it hard because I couldn't find I still haven't found a replacement that is as desirable as that chicken, you know, that got the eyes lighting up as much. But I'm doing it for you, baby. I'm doing it for you, sweetie.
Well, that wasn't the bark of a dog.
Stay with me.
Not the bark of a dog that has seen a carrot, was it?
Oh,
bless
thanks,
you, Sonia.
Sonia.
And, you know, it should be pointed out that, you know, even if you disagree with people, I mean, we all love our dogs. I want my dog to be happy and healthy.
Everybody's doing what works for them. I just thought I'd let you know I'm gutless and I just can't do it.
Chicken neck for McGruff there.
Sorry, Gruffster.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Zee, Matt and Kimber.
Now, Elaney Gluftesis.
I normally leave all the pronunciations to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to get a job on SBS, let's be honest. But she's a young woman who made the news about 2 years ago when she became the first woman to umpire an AFL game.
Like a field umpire.
Umpire. Very cool. Exactly. So not one of the goal umpires. She's a field umpire. And, of course, she's still doing it. And, in fact, in 2019... she was declared the South Australian Young Australian of the Year.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
Wouldn't have been a very tough field there, but that's okay. But anyway, on the weekend, she got proposed to by her long-time, I don't know how long they've been together, boyfriend, Dylan T.
I think they met at school. they were saying last night. Yeah.
You really should have done this story. Sorry, you're far more across it than I am. And he is a boundary umpire. The bloke who throws the ball in.
This is all very sweet.
And he's proposed to her in the middle of the MCG.
Oh, mate. He didn't, did he?
He did.
Well, I think he thought the crowd weren't going to be there.
It was after the game, and it was a Carlton match, so I mean, how many people would have been there anyway?
Yeah, and the Blues had a win. The Blues don't like Alani. They reckon she's biased against them. Isn't that funny?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he picked that game to do it. But I think it was just the corporate boxes had people in still.
Yeah, and now Dylan would have been a bit nervous, right? Have we got a bit of audio about how nervous he was?
Well, as Dad said during the week when I rang him for his blessing, he said it's as much of a slam dunk as any, so I was pretty confident, but there was always that little thought in my mind, and I actually hoped that the G would be empty, but when we walked out there and saw that all the corporate boxes were full, I did start to cack my dacks a little bit. So.
Sorry?
Cack my dacks.
I haven't heard that for years.
Yeah.
And then you can imagine the corporate boxes, so those that have been getting, you know, wined and dined all day.
For free.
Watching would probably be more, you know, less well behaved than the actual people on the fence.
I mean, am I the only person who just thinks a public proposal is completely naff?
I'm not into it.
It's so naff. Like, none of us, I don't care that these people have got engaged. Does that sound heartless?
When
this story popped up on Twitter. So it happened on, was it Saturday? It happened on the weekend, right? So I saw it pop up on Twitter. So all I was doing when I was watching the vision was looking at her face to see if she was looking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking,
I think that women everywhere would be uncomfortable in some way, shape, or form.
I think public or private, I still think that they're particularly public. There is a pressure to say yes. Yeah. I feel like if I was proposed to in public, number one, I would turn to James and go, you don't even know me, get out of here.
Yes.
But maybe to save face for him, I would probably say yes and then, in the venue
public,
and then later go,
private.
Yeah, and then watch it fall to a point.
Yeah.
But do you know the pressure to say no? I mean, if people even turn down a proposal.
Yes.
How many people have said no? But, you know, because they really meant it. A lot of people would have said yes, even if they didn't want to.
Absolutely.
It's the pressure of people around. The expectation is for the romantic answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also sometimes...
Oh, no, I want someone to say no in public like that. Say, no way. You're a boundary umpire.
You're a loser.
Wait until you're playing the main field, mate. Then come a calling.
I can't imagine just being asked and not... Actually, give us a call. 1-333-353. Have you said no to a proposal?
A public proposal?
I mean, look, if it happened in public, even better. But I mean, you know, did you say no? Because I feel like it would be very hard to say to a person, oh, I don't know how I've given you the impression that I wanted into this for life.
Yeah.
I don't want this at all.
So if it was the middle of a fringe show and it happened to you, Kimby, it would be an embarrassing no. Would it be a storm out? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'd be so disappointed in him for even thinking that was a good idea.
That was a really good answer there. Well done. Cover your bases.
Give us a call and we'll see if we can't, you know, warm Kimber's heart of stone.
Mix 94. 4.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Public engagements are fraught with absolute danger, let's be honest.
They certainly are.
You know, I get it. When you're really in love with someone and it feels really big in your heart, you just want to share it with everyone. You want to sing it from the rooftops. And that means people try public proposals.
Yes, it happened after the Carlton. Who did they play? I can't remember who they played.
They had a win against Adelaide.
A win against Adelaide. Mm. And these two young umpires, you know, he's a boundary umpire. He's got down on one knee in the middle of the MCG after the game.
She thought it was just going to be a photo opportunity.
Thought it was going to be a selfie.
Okay.
And he popped the question and she said yes. So good luck to them.
You know, but I just think saying no to any proposal is tough. It takes a bit of courage to go, now that I've been proposed with this question, I don't want to.
Well, public or not is tough, isn't it?
Absolutely. Christy's in Ellenbrook. Christy, you've said no to a proposal. What was that like?
Awkward.
Yeah.
What happened?
I was pregnant with our first child. I was still living at home.
Okay.
And basically he sat me down on my bed and asked for me to be his wife, and I pretty much just shot him down and said no.
What was the reason, Christy?
We'd only been together for, like, I don't know, 6 months, if that.
Right. Like, I'm okay to have your baby, but get married, get out of here.
Pretty much.
So it wasn't the location that was a problem. The bed wasn't glamorous or anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, the next time he proposed, I suppose it was in the car, so it wasn't any better.
It wasn't like it was at rock pool or something.
You just gave in, Christy. You were like, well, I guess I may as well. Otherwise, where are you going to ask me next time?
Yeah, pretty much. Three kids later, I had to, I suppose.
Well, after that, next one will be in the broom closet, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, so you said yes in the car and you're still married?
Yes, we are. 16 years.
Oh, good on you, Christy.
Yeah. He just wanted to be able to say 18 years, but you just...
Yeah.
Possibly.
Thanks, Christy.
No worries. Thank you.
You see, that's lovely.
That is sweet. Tracy's in Safety Bay. Tracy, when did you say no to the proposal?
Hi. I didn't actually say no. I said yes, but I did... When I saw him go down on one knee, I did say, don't ask me, don't ask me, don't ask me.
Why, where were you?
We were on holiday in Thailand at the time, and he took me up to the rooftop pool, which was absolutely gorgeous. Right. I'd just been on the phone to my kids back in Australia, and I was extremely upset. So I thought he was just taking me upstairs for some fresh air. And, yeah, he went down on one knee, and I just looked off on the distance, wouldn't make eye contact with him. And
well done. Don't do it. Was he slightly demoralised at that point, Trace?
Oh, totally. And he kept saying to me, look at me, look at me, look
at me. But the poor dude, he just can't read the room. He didn't realise the timing was so bad.
And that is tough, isn't it? Because you've decided you're going to do it, and then Tracy goes and has an upsetting phone call, and you're like, nah, I'm going through with it.
His moment. And he's been thinking about it, stressing about it for about 8 weeks.
Yeah. Tracy, did it help you feel better immediately afterwards?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I couldn't think about anything else then.
Okay, well, see, there you go. That worked.
Yeah, definitely.
You worked your way
through it. Best thing that ever happened.
Oh, lovely. Hey,
relationships are about. That's good.
Oh, maybe I need to be less harsh on this proposal business.
Well, we're trying everything we can to make it easier for you, babe.
James.
Thanks, Tracy.
Hey, Trace, have a good week.
Yeah, James, West Coast v. whoever, Optus. Stadium.
Well, seeing Kimber's flip from Fremantle.
God. James wouldn't even know how to find Optus Stadium. He'd be like, what sport? What are
we'll
you talking about?
We'll take care of it.
Yeah,
we'll take care of it.
I'm going to get that eagle that flies to fly to you with a ring.
With the ring on a little cushion. And I don't know.
And Nick Nat.
Josh Kennedy.
Yes.
Best man.
Yeah.
We got it all sorted.
Done.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, I've just got this little piece on the real estate market in Perth because things are a little bit weird right now.
Aren't they?
Fair to say. Despite the interest rates being at record lows, some experts are saying that we're at 2006 prices.
Right.
And from examples of family and friends, people who I've been talking to over the last couple of months who've been going through the selling process, it's a damn good time to buy. It's a crappy time to sell your house right now.
Very bad.
But some people have to. If you had a change of job or something to do with family or financial issues, some people just have to. So I'll throw from the examples of what I've heard, throw a few tips at people trying to sell your house in a tough market.
Right, cool. I'm going to write this down.
Yeah, okay. Don't do it.
Okay, all right. It's 6:52.
Don't buy at peak times.
Number one, pick an agent who's a specialist in your suburb. I know someone who's been burnt by this. Even if you've got a mate or someone who's sold a property for you before successfully, pick someone who knows the suburb because they're the ones who'll know the best. You know, they all want every agent wants listings, right?
Yeah.
So they'll take your listing and they'll make promises. Now, and it may not be a solid promise, but it may be, you know, if I can get it, I'll get that for you. But if you know, if the person knows the suburb intimately, that's much stronger than the link you have with someone from a past transaction.
Okay. Okay. Good, yeah.
Number two, make it really important and really early on with the agent when you're talking to them, implore that they're really honest about price with you. Because this is a really important thing because you have expectations.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing that goes with that. So lower your expectations because the market is really tough out there.
Yeah.
And you can be really disappointed. So those two sort of go hand in hand. So you need to implore with these people with an agent that they're going with a lower price.
Yeah. Don't tell me what I want to hear.
No matter how much you love your house or how much you spend on it, you've got to, you know, be realistic.
Yep.
So that's part of lowering your expectations. And the other little tricky thing is, and I know someone who got caught with this, is don't really carefully choose the marketing plan you go for. Because, you know, if you're going to realestate.com and all those sites and all the rest of it, it gets pretty expensive.
Right.
I'll try and upgrade you to a higher one. So really think about whether you really need to go to that higher step with your marketing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the other tip number four is same as tip 1A. Don't do it. That's right. It is tough. It's tough. Some people have to sell their house right now and it's a really tough market. So just thought I'd hand those on because a family member said to me yesterday, you need to talk about this on the radio because it's tough out there. And the main thing is expectations and getting an agent who knows the local area.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, job security will kick in next and people can actually benefit from buying properties that are a bit cheaper. At the moment.
And I think Claire'sy should have his own show on reality television.
The market with Claire'sy.
Yeah.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a
disappointed.
Somebody's let the team down this morning.
He's got a bit of a tummy upset.
I just said to Tom the producer, watch what happens when I don't say anything.
That was a reaction.
I have got a tummy upset, yes.
Yeah, if you've just if you just joined us on the Big Breakfast for the first time, normally in there, Captain Paul puts a word in.
Yeah.
This morning, no word.
Really? That's thrown me a little bit, actually.
You look a bit thrown.
Your game.
We talked about this last week, but it's very serious. The Northern Hemisphere being in the midst of a real full-on heat wave.
People losing their lives, which is terrible.
Yeah, they're not equipped to handle the heat like we are, and we did make it a joke, for want of a better term, that they were cancelling a music festival because it got to 35, and we're thinking here that's like let's go.
Big day out,
In the UK, train wires, overhead train wires, have burst into flames. They've issued a level 3 warning. Health warning. Level 4 is national emergency.
Oh, right.
So it's quite high. There were photos of the Brockwell Park Lido in the south of London, near where I used to live in Brixton there, and I've been to this pool, with people waiting in line for 3 hours
to have a swim.
To go and have a swim.
Wow.
So it's pretty full on.
It's pretty hot.
And if you're not equipped for it, it's same with us. You put us in winter temps. If we're not quite ready, this is actually really, we're used to it in Australia, hitting those temps.
I wonder what the price of those lazy chairs in Hyde Park are right now.
Yeah.
£35 for 15 minutes.
Right. Well, the most disconcerting thing I found about this, because as you're saying, this can kill people and lots of terrible things happen in the heat, but the most disturbing was that Dr. Sarah Walsh spoke to the Daily Mirror to put out those with some health issues, warning women not to put icy poles near their genitals.
Oh,
that was a warning that needed to go out, apparently.
Lemon and orange flavors, such a fruity,
tasty, natural flavors. Eating what is fun to do. Calippo is double ducking.
Hey,
Calippos.
Apparently, the ice can stick to the delicate skin and cause real trauma and damage. And then a second expert thankfully backed her up. I mean, I'm no expert, but
was
I reckon
name,
I
was
probably.
His name Bubble Bill?
Yeah, I reckon I knew not to do this already.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a given.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, apparently it is very dangerous. What have these people never just heard of, like, having a bath or getting a cold flannel?
Just dabbing
just
a cold flannel.
Just sit in a wet sarong. You don't need to get out the Calippo or...
Kids, keep that stuff away from your privates.
Yeah, it's not where it belongs.
No, it's not where it belongs.
It's very dangerous.
Enjoy the tropical flavour. Sit in front of a fan.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Enough said.
I think we're done. Everything Perth.
For Brekkie, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Give me the details.
All right, yesterday, on Friday, Matt and I were banging on about watching Ninja Warrior. Clancy was not so much for it. Clancy, did you watch the semi-final?
I took your advice and watched the whole episode.
Did you like it?
I did, and I agreed with people on social media last night who were going, why didn't they play the people who made the course in time? Why didn't they play all of the runs? They were playing little highlights. It was weird.
I know, and they've kind of got favourites, They've got some that have been returning for a couple of seasons, so there's a couple of favourites that I think get a bit more airtime.
Yep.
But they had 3 minutes to complete the course last night. It is amazing how many of them made it through. Mm-hmm. My goodness, it was so hard.
Man.
Ashlyn Herbert is the fastest to complete the course. He had still a minute 32 left on the clock.
Ashlyn Herbert.
This is phenomenal.
Wow. And now he's pressing the buzzer. Oh, my word. Does it with his head. 1 minute 32 left on the clock. Take a bow, Ashlyn Herbert.
He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't overthink what he's going to do. He just does it.
Gee, look out, Dennis Cometti, with commentary like that. Bloody hell, that's superb.
I'm not going to lie. The commentary is the thing that lets down the show, in my opinion.
Oh, Freddie was good. He hits the buzzer with his head.
Yeah, but look, it is. I'm actually really interested by how much I've been engaged by it. I'm not athletic in any way.
Yeah.
But, gee, I like watching other people be athletic. They're very good at it.
And especially these blokes who are 70 or 65 or 75 kilos. So they've got light body weight, so they don't have to lift themselves up.
Yes.
It's not that much harder for them to lift themselves up.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not all buffheads, are they?
No, they're so quick. Yeah, true.
The grand final is on 7:30 tonight on 9, so check it out, Ninja Warrior.
Apology to all buffheads.
We like buffheads too.
About that, yeah.
Other TV news. Matt, you've got connections to the next big star in Australia.
Oh, really? Do I?
Do you remember the guy at Sexpo who painted your portrait?
Oh, Picasso.
Picasso.
I'm here with Picasso at Sexpo, and he's very kindly offered to do a portrait for me. He has his penis out, and he's about to start work. And he's using his bum, just getting a little bit of a schmear.
Oh.
So, now, without warning, people are like, what's that about? This guy is an artist who paints portraits using his member.
Yes, he does.
And he did it last night on Australia's Got Talent. 69-year-old artist. And they loved him. He's made it through to the next round by painting a 2-minute portrait of Shane Jacobson.
Well, that'll do it.
It was very good. It looked more like Shane Jacobson than Matt's looked like Matt. But
oh, really?
Maybe you'll do the Archibald Prize.
There's an opportunity there.
Archibald's.
Oh, come on. Sorry.
Don't be a Picasso, Paul.
And guys, in terms of touring, Emmy-nominated television personality, podcaster and hairstylist to the stars, Jonathan Van Ness is bringing his Road to Beijing world tour to Australia in Feb 2020.
So word on the street is that John works at like the nerds department at Netflix. Do I know what that is? No. Do I need their help? 100%. How do I delete all of those old topless pictures off the internet? I don't want any more.
Jonathan is... Okay. Jonathan's the hairdresser on Queer Eye. That's what he's best known for. Yep. But he's also a stand-up comic. Apparently, he serves Cirque du Soleil realness between stand-up sets, and it's all inspired by his ongoing attempt and lifelong obsession to become a figure skating prodigy in the next Olympic cycle.
Okay.
That's his plan. But he's, in addition to Queer Eye, he starred on the Emmy-nominated series of Gay of Thrones and his podcast Getting Curious, which is a weekly podcast about things that Jonathan's curious about, was listed one of the top podcasts of 2018 by Time magazine.
That's a good title for
and
it,
yeah. He's going to be in Perth Tuesday the 25th of Feb at Riverside Theatre. Tickets are from teg.dainty.com.
He's the sort of performer where you go, you found your niche.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
You know,
he has. He absolutely has. Specialty area.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got so many things on his plate. How does he fit that on a business card? That's incredible.
That's your daily juice.
Well done, KC.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Now, the moment you've been waiting for all morning. It's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Yeah, look, sad to hear the inventor of Tupperware died last week.
Oh.
Yeah, he hasn't been buried yet. No, they haven't been able to find a lid to fit his coffin. So.
John Farnham headlines live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.